Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper, Pencil, Dice. Last time, Aether's old friend and ally, or maybe was he, we're not sure, Andrew, led them to a potential ally who might be able to help them get into the underground fortress of the Dreadcrowns. When they arrived, they found three individuals in the room Andrew led them to. Two of them were obviously undead, and in the middle among them was an older gentleman wearing a dark green robe and a brown cloak. He gestured at some chairs in the room for the group to sit in. So, first, before we get started, we're going to go around, and I would like each of you to describe kind of what you look like and kind of how you are acting as you walk into the room and either choose to or choose not to sit down. We're going to start off with Hup.
This is Mark. I'm playing Hup Bottomsworth. I am a rogue, a human rogue. I am kind of casing the room kind of cautiously. I will be sitting down.
Okay. And next we'll go with Jethal.
Yeah, my name is Chris. I'm playing Jethalzon. I guess I'm just very cautiously entering the room, not really wanting to be the first one in there for sure. I would definitely be behind other people, and just being very cautious about entering and looking around a bit.
All right. After that, we will go with Aether.
Yeah, I am Brian. I am playing Aether. I am standing beside Andrew as we enter the room, since he's a good friend of mine, surveying the room, because I know Andrew, and he's trustworthy, but to a point. So I want to make sure that we're good, even though I trust him.
Okay. And last is Tegan.
Yeah, my name is Chris, the other Chris. I'm playing Tegan, and I am just wearing a cloak. I'm playing a gnome sorcerer. And as I come into the room, I stand with both hands ready to fight, kind of by my sides, kind of very tense, but at the same time with my head hood down so that they can't see my face. And underneath my hood, I'm looking around the room.
I do hope you're wearing more than just a cloak.
Yes, I'm wearing way more than you wore last episode.
Perfect. Okay. I just want to confirm.
That's an accurate statement there. All right. So the guy in the middle, the only one that appears not to be undead of the three individuals besides the group and Andrew, looks at all of you casually for a moment. He lifts his hand, showing a bone smoking pipe, brings it up to his mouth, inhales deeply on it, and then lets the smoke out gently as he kind of seems to be completely at ease and doesn't appear to be necessarily directly threatening, and at the same time he doesn't appear to be scared of any of you in the slightest right now. The other thing that you also notice when he pulled his hand up with the smoking pipe, and almost intentionally so, he revealed an odd tattoo on his left hand where the pipe was of a lily flower. And at that point, he, acknowledges who sat and who didn't and goes, "Hello, my name is Ralos, the Death Whisper. And your group is called?"
Oh, nuts. We didn't come up with a name, did we? As long as we're not like the Three Seasons again. That was horrible. I don't want to be the Three Seasons again.
That was the Four Seasons, and I think that was a great name, by the way.
No.
So we can step out of game for a moment while you guys can decide what you want to call your group's name, or you could just have someone blurt it out in game and come up with a name.
The Platypus Gang.
Hey, I'm Stumbleduck. I'll work with that.
The Platypus Gang it is. Perfect.
Oh, jeepers cripes.
You guys didn't chime in. You gotta jump in there. Maybe we can do the Apple Dumplings Gang. The Apple
Dumplings
Gang. How
about we're the super awesome guys, This is challenging.
3 men and a gnome? I don't know.
Like a sitcom.
There you go.
I mean, if you don't want to be considered a man, that's fine.
I'm not. I'm a gnome.
Oh, wow.
I'm not 3 men.
Good question.
Is he watching us and we're trying to... We're kind of huddled together.
He kind of watches you, and as he asks what the name of your group is, he kind of gets the feeling that you guys are like, haven't had this conversation yet. And he goes,
I see where the platypus guys. I think, you know, we're huddled up there. I think we should
go for it.
We're the platypus gang.
Dude. The platypus gang. Very interesting, considering none of you are platypi, but. Far be it from me to judge.
Hey, we're a duck. We're a mammal that looks like a duck that lays eggs.
I guess I'm glad we're not platypi. It'd be better than being platypi, but...
Oh. You're platypi people. So he looks up and says, so your friend Andro mentioned you were looking for the scorpion bloodstone. It just so happens that I'm looking for something else in the very same vault. I believe that a mutually beneficial arrangement can be made, if you are so inclined. Are you interested in hearing my offer?
Absolutely.
He looks up at you, Aether, and says, I presume you are the leader of this platypus gang, is that correct?
I wouldn't call myself the leader. I think we all contribute equally.
No, he's definitely the leader.
He's the ringleader.
He's
all right. We've never discussed this before, so we'll go with that for now.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear you're willing to at least listen to reason. So, first off, I believe you've already had encounters with the Dread Crowns at this point. Yes.
Some uncomfortable encounters. Yes.
They have for a long while held this city with methods that some might call unnatural. But they are simply playing at a game they do not truly understand. But that is besides the point. You are adventurers, so you'd probably like me to get to the point, I presume.
Well, hold on. Back up just a second. So you, Rallus, are not a part of this gang?
No, I've been an enemy of theirs for quite some time. They and I are much as you might describe oil and water. We do not mix well.
You need to talk a little.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Talk a little more about that, because we notice that there are your friends next to you seem to have very much the same aura as the gang does.
Far from it. The gang has brought back the dead with their own will, but yet they still serve the Dread Crowns. These, and he gestures to the two on the side of him, they are merely my minions. They help me out with my tasks, and they do as I command. They do not have any form of free will.
What do we know about the white lily on the tattoo? That's a symbol of, like, I've got a lily, I've got a carved lily thing that I picked up in one of the markets, right?
Yes, you do. So go ahead and give me a culture check to try to figure out what it might mean, or alternatively, I believe there's history as well. Either of those, you might be able to figure it out.
Society, you mean? I'm not seeing a culture or a history.
I thought there was culture on the character sheet.
No.
Society. Yeah, okay, we'll go with society. I'm sorry. I'm thinking the wrong system.
All right.
And this would be for Hup. Would be making this check.
Yep. I'm working on that right now.
Because he's the one who's asking the question.
Work faster.
Apparently, I can't type the word roll.
You know, if you don't put the slash in front of it and you put 20, you get 20s every time. It's really nice.
Oh, I got a 20. Look at that. No. Society, I got a 27. Nope, sorry, 23.
So, you recognize the really the thing is the white lily doesn't necessarily mean anything to you per se. Like, it doesn't have any specific meaning, but you do recall that Hammond's orphanage was called the White Lily Orphanage.
Oh, that's where it came from. Okay.
You have some sort of that's the first thing that pops into your head, but you're not really sure if they're related or it's just coincidental.
Sure. Okay. Are you related to the orphanage at all? Are you an orphan by chance?
I am not, but Hammond of the orphanage, I mean, he's run that orphanage by himself for 15 years at least. And he, despite being an orphan caretaker, he also helps coordinate efforts to make this world a better place. And those of us who work alongside him, or at least agree to his methods or beliefs, call ourselves the Order of the White Lily.
And the order with the green mark that the gang wears?
Are you referring to the Dread Crowns?
Yes.
They are the Dread Crowns.
So the green mark on their left hands, the same hand that you wear your mark.
Are you referring to the skull on their hand?
Yes.
Yes, I believe that is not necessarily... that is more of a nature of their curse than a signature of their membership of their organization. I apologize?
I'm sorry. What do you mean by nature of their curse?
As I said, they try to play at something that they don't understand. It's part of what I wish to procure from them. And they've been in possession of for far too long. There's a certain object, and I'm not going to get into too many of the details on exactly what this is, but there is an object that they use that helps bring some of them back from the grave, but not entirely. And there is a curse that holds them bound to the guild.
Can you help us get into where this stone is at and this device that you're talking about is at?
Absolutely. That was absolutely my intention.
So how do we get there? How do you get us there?
Well, first of all, I have to get you into their fortress. Their fortress is relatively impenetrable. I mean, I am a magic weaver of formidable power, but even I could not simply waltz directly into their facility.
We actually have that, a large wooden horse. Would that be of help?
Potentially. But I fear that the wooden horse might not fit into the main entrance.
What about a large wooden rabbit?
Nice.
Enough to fit four people in? I still don't think it's going through the front door.
It's plus there is a there's complications that might render that not the most feasible of all of options. But there is I assume you've heard of their trials, their gauntlets to go through to earn the gem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if you're aware, these trials are merely a farce. They bring outsiders in, run them through the gauntlet, entertain the rest of the guild, generally through watching them suffer, torture, and eventually die in their gauntlet. Those very rare members on occasion who do complete the gauntlet, which does happen on occasion, are offered membership into the guild, but they never get the gemstone. And those who turn down membership are killed on the spot. So... despite what you've been told about this gauntlet, it will not at all earn you the gemstone. And at this point, you look back and you see Andrew, he's the one who first told you about the gauntlet, and he kind of hangs his head down, doesn't say anything, but he kind of realizes that he completely misled the rest of the group on that.
Does it seem like he misled us intentionally?
Based upon the guilt on his face, it looks like he simply fed you information he had, but there was nothing intentional about it. At least that's your initial suspect based upon your perception.
So we don't have to kill him right now.
Hey, now, anyone that he knows. He still owes me stuff. Can't kill him yet.
I mean, yeah.
Sure.
So, but their trials, their gauntlet, may still prove to be useful for us to get you the gemstone regardless. So my proposal is this. You and your group will enter the facility of the Dread Crowns. Begin their challenge. Begin going through the trials. And while you are doing this, I will do my work and raise an army to attack the entire facility or the entire city, including their facility. Provided you agree to this, I will make sure that Hammond is alerted well in advance so he and his wards can make sure that they are in a safe location and are not threatened by any of this. While I can create a great force of the undead, I do not have the ability to control all of them simultaneously. So some of them will roam around on their own.
Well, that's just the nature of the undead, right?
To a degree, yes. They can be created, but it takes a force more powerful than I am to control an entire army worth.
Is there a way we can read whether he's being ingenuous here, that he's being genuine?
Are you actively trying to...
Yes, I'm trying to read his mannerisms.
You can go ahead and make me a perception check on that.
I rolled a whopping 8.
And you also rolled a d29 too, but...
Let me fix that.
So you did somehow even worse than rolling a 3 and a d20.
Look at that. I re-rolled the d20 and I actually ended up with a natural 20 with a 5 on top of that. So, or 6 on top of that.
I'm going with your 3 at the first one. So you look at him, and as far as you can tell, he does not appear disingenuous at all.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to do the same roll because I'm doing the same thing that he is.
Okay.
All right. So, slash R, right?
Correct. Slash R space D20 or 1D20.
14 modified.
Okay. You, similar to Hup, have the same overall perspective. You think that he is being more or less honest. He's definitely concealing some information, but none of what he said is dishonest.
Okay.
And we're blissfully ignorant to this, right? And certainly I am blissfully ignorant to this. Like, yep.
He's absolutely.
Totally telling the truth.
So he informs you that he will raise an army and attack the entire city and focus as much of the forces as he can on their facility.
So Hope kind of puts his hands on his hips and nods, like bobs his head like a chicken a little bit and says, yep, sounds good. Let's do this.
Yes. While I do that, this will likely draw most of the forces away that are trying to deal with that are trying to deal with the now invading force. This will give less defenses in their facility alone, because generally their first reaction is going to be to protect anyone from entering the facility. It's likely that they will not necessarily anticipate, based upon what they've already set up as defensive measures, an attack from those already inside. That being said, don't expect no defenses either.
Is it best for us to go quickly, or I'm concerned about information leaks and people finding out what our plans are before we're ready to go?
I would recommend waiting approximately one day so I have enough time to gather the resources I require to build the army. But once I have the forces gathered, then we should be, then I would agree with your ascertainment that we begin as quickly as possible.
Is there anybody in the city who would be able to sniff this out? I'm thinking of a certain jeweler that seems to be everywhere all at once. We have to be especially worried about people like that.
Don't tell people the plan and don't act any different from normal. And I don't believe they'll raise any suspicions.
What is the price for your assistance, though?
As I said before, there is something else in the vault that I wish to have. I have not been able to get in on my own. If I can get you in and you're able to dispatch the forces on the inside, then I can stride in alongside you and take what I want and you get what you want.
Fair enough.
My price is that I'm allowed to have what I seek, no questions asked.
And he seeks the...
I seek a device,
yes,
which is what the Dread Crowns use to bring back their members from the dead.
What does this device look like?
I do not wish to go into detail on that.
So how do we help identify it? So if we would see this, we would need to know...
It's in the same vault. I will be... at this point, he reaches into his robes and pulls out a green, sort of cloudy diamond-shaped gemstone and lays it on the table in front of him.
Okay.
Says, take this with you. Once you are free to move about the facility, I would like you to kill one of their number within the facility. I have rigged up a bit of an arcane ritual into this gemstone, which once you have killed one of their number, place this stone into the corpse's forehead. This will bring me to you so I can help you get through the remainder of their defenses.
Sure.
I will not be at my full strength, but I will be able to help you and guide you through the rest of what I know of their facility. And once we are in the vault, you will have what you want, I will have what I want, and we will part ways peacefully.
Is there any way in game for us to determine this guy's like alignment of if he's truly like this necromancer that's using us to raise his own army type of thing? Or is there any way for us to detect that? Or is that just basically through...
Give me a second here. As far as you can tell, it's very likely he's a necromancer. So you're pretty certain of that part.
Well, yeah.
Seems pretty likely.
Seems likely.
But for evil intent type of thing is kind of what I'm getting at. Is there any system that allows us to determine that other than to try to
drill a conversation? Based on the roll that I rolled on the die here, I will tell you that it was... he does not read as good. So he is absolutely not a good aligned character. He also, however, doesn't read as maliciously evil either.
So he's not going to try to take over the town with his zombies and kill everybody, hopefully, after we help him out.
Oh, right. He's going to do that. You can guarantee that.
I mean, Huff might, but...
He did mention the fact that the army of the undead that he's going to create is not going to be under his control. So there is going to be a force of undead that will just simply be rolling around killing people in the city.
Yep. I wonder what he gets out of that.
Well, he gets the ability to control people when they die, right? He can do the same thing that the guild's doing as soon as he gets it.
Yeah, but like if he can't control the army, but he can control people that can die, it's just kind of okay.
I'm going to ask, how do you know so much about this device?
I've studied it for decades at this point.
So you've held this, you've possessed this before.
I've never possessed it, but I know exactly what it is. I know whose it used to be before the Dread Crown stumbled upon it. And I know what its true power really is.
How did you study it then? How did you study without it being in your possession?
He looks at the rest of you and kind of gestures, sort of like a half shrug, half sort of wave of his hand, and says, books.
Books.
That probably confuses Hup a lot. What are those?
What is this? I mean, I need to know what this looks like. So if we find it, how do we make sure that if it's not
you need
vault,
not worry about...
If it's not in the vault, that's my concern. It's not going to be... If it's not in the vault, if it's actively being used by the Dread Crowns, we might stumble across it. And I'm using deception at this point to say, mm-hmm. hey, trying to convince him that this may, or maybe diplomacy at that point, that this really might not be in the vault. So we really need to know what this looks like.
Okay. Go ahead and roll either diplomacy or deception. It sounds good either way. And you, by the way, on your character sheet, Mark, you can just click on the actual button. Like, for example, if you were to click on diplomacy, it would do that. And that will actually roll it for you.
So if anybody's curious, we're using Roll20 website that has all this information in there. We store our character sheets and everything in there.
Oh, you just click it once. It's not a double click.
I think you just clicked it like 20 times there. But
okay. Let me check.
Well, he's just trying to get that 20 that he missed before.
So I rolled a 9.
All right. So you try to explain to him. He goes, so what I will tell you of the object is it is an object that's native to this specific area, but it predates the Dread Crowns. It does have heavy ties to the undead. If you were to encounter it and attempt to wield it, I would greatly fear for yours and for the rest of the city's safety.
Not that I want to possess it. I don't want to possess it. I want to make sure that we secure it correctly. That's my concern.
I would prefer you to leave it untouched. As someone who doesn't understand the necromantic arts would likely suffer the exact same fate as the Dread Crowns have.
Oh, and I don't want to touch it. It seems evil and terrible, but I want to make sure that if it's not in the place it's supposed to be, that it's... that you can more easily find it and take possession of it.
My deal is as such. If it's there in the vault where I believe it should be, then I will take it when I arrive with you. If it is not in the vault where I believe it to be, I will still assist you in getting the Bloodstone, which should be there, and I will continue my quest in trying to find the object.
That seems perfectly fair to me.
If I tell you too much about the object, I fear temptation of you possibly finding and or wielding it. And I cannot risk this happening to another, especially one who already does not have an evil predilection, as I do not believe you do.
I do not.
Could we determine some way of how powerful this guy actually is? Is there a way to say that he's significantly more powerful than us, or just based on what he's doing, or?
I will allow anyone to make an Arcana check to try to ascertain how powerful he is.
Not a religion?
I'll do that.
Not religion. Because his power is not from the undead, but from wielding of the arcane arts.
26. Wow.
I'm thinking that he's, like, if he can wield an item of great power, that it's, you know, a less level 2's touching it would probably zap ourselves into infinity, so it might probably not be a good idea to pursue that.
He's probably level 3. He looks like a level 3.
So Hup, based upon your assessment of his abilities, and you are not an arcane wielder, but you understand enough about it too.
I think we'd look at Jethal's.
I'm going to get to Jethal's roll here in a moment. So Hup, by the way, rolled an 18 on his Arcana check. So Hup is able to tell that this guy, Ralos, is likely a powerful wizard of some sort. More powerful than Jethal is what you're able to tell.
Oh, what?
Jethal is also able to agree that he is definitely more powerful than Jethal, because Jethal rolled a 26 on his Arcana check. But additionally to that, you know that he is focused in necromancy, obviously. You know that he is probably somewhere between 2 to 3 orders of magnitude greater than you.
Oh, boy.
Is in strength. Now, there are wizards that are far more powerful than this guy that you've heard legends of and stuff like that. But he is at a a strength where, were he not actively trying to keep his presence hidden, he would very likely be well known around the region.
Mm. Okay. So don't mess with him. Sure. Got it.
I just see Hup's hand reaching for his gold pouch.
Hope things don't go really bad.
I'm like, you are very powerful, aren't you?
I've been dealing with the arcane arts for a number of years, yes. And I see that you are also a wielder of them as well.
Yes, but nowhere near you.
You'll get to catch up to my level at some point.
What are your plans?
I hope so.
What are your plans for the undead army after you've raised them and we've gotten what we wanted?
Well, the hope is that the Dreadcrons can deal with most of them. I can deal with some of the remainder, either take some under control and battle the rest, or do what I can. Depending on your availability, I might request your assistance on putting some of the ones that exceed my influence to take them down as well.
Oh, absolutely. You can count on us. We are trustworthy beyond reason.
Oh, as Andrew has informed me.
I think we have a common goal here, so let's pursue that and start moving forward.
So he stands up and kind of nudges the gemstone closer to you again and says, so before we depart, do we have an agreement of terms here?
Absolutely.
Very well.
You have the platypus's tail that you have our word.
He pauses for a moment and says, understood. So I will go begin my rituals. Within one day, I would like to have you ensure that you will be inside their facilities. So approximately, and he kind of like looks up and then pulls out an item out of his hand, looks at it for a moment, and it kind of like it's a circular object with an arrow pointing in one direction, with nothing written on the object. He goes, approximately this exact same time tomorrow is when the army will attack. So I give you roughly 24 hours to be in position.
That sounds great.
In position means that we are inside the gang and we have killed one of the people inside of the maze.
I would strongly recommend against killing anyone in the maze before the army attacks.
Okay.
If you kill anyone in there, it's likely you will draw the ire of everyone in their facility prior to the army ever attacking. I want you to be in their facility, go through the trials, and while you're in the trials, once you hear cries of help or assistance in that there's something else going on and you start seeing individuals who are watching disappear, that's when the time to enact the plan begins.
Hmm.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
So do not spoil any of our surprises to the Dreadcrowns and act as though you are going through the trials as normal until such a time as we begin.
Fair enough.
Any additional questions?
Nope.
He kind of looks around a couple times. And Andro looks at the rest of you and says, I will also do my best to ensure the safety as much of the populace of Nishtun as I can while you are down there.
Spectacular. Until we meet again, then.
Andro, if you can make sure to ensure the safety of the orphanage and the orphans that are there as a priority, that would be appreciated.
Andrew bows and says, I will absolutely do that. And Ralos kind of waves one hand and goes, I don't believe that will be necessary. Hammond is more than capable of dealing with any army of the undead I could throw at him.
Dude, he's more powerful than we thought.
All right, cool. Let's move forward then and get to dealing with this.
All right. We should get some scrolls of, like, Pounce the Undead or something.
Pounce the undead.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Pound them into the ground, man.
I'm the dungeon master, and I don't know what that means.
That means that the undead pounce like cats? I don't know.
Yes, we have cat-like undead running around.
It's a 2E thing. It's a 2E rule.
Better than a snake.
So as soon as we leave the premises, what I would like to do is try to get some information of what this thing looks like, this device looks like. He said he researched it. I would like to see if I can do some quick research on this to see what this thing looks like. Is there a way for me to do that? Is there like a library? Can I?
I mean, it would be very hard for you to figure out what the device is because he hasn't even told you what it's called yet.
But he's researched it, right? So if I went to a library of mages or something of this nature to find out what this might be.
Yes. Is there a library of Google in this town?
Yes, I'm looking for the Google library. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
So
where I can put in spells of 7th level casters.
Yes.
I will allow you to find, you can probably find some sort of like a scroll repository. There's not really a library in Nishtune, but there's a place where like scrolls and writings and things like that are generally stored.
Could I use that as like my lore scribe? To do that?
I will allow you to use either scribe lore or arcana.
Okay. So I roll a 27 for scribe lore.
Actually, you roll a 37, because don't forget you had plus 10 on that.
Look at that.
Because you rolled a 20.
Perfect. Right. 37.
So you exceeded the only threshold I was going to allow you to have any information on this at all.
Perfect.
I have to go look up what the name of it is. Give me a second here. I was expecting not to tell you anything.
He got lucky.
All right. While he's doing that, let's make our way back to through the town. And I was serious. We're going to battle the undead. We're going to want some holy water and some stuff that will help us battle them easier.
Done. If it's undead, healing might be useful just from the aspect it both harms and heals, doesn't it?
Repeat the question. I missed that.
Used to. I don't know if it's still
for healing divine spells for yes. Healing. They harm undead and heal us. Correct.
That's correct. And also, unlike in like channeling in Pathfinder First Edition. The heal spell, when used the area effect version, will both damage undead and heal the group at this, or heal any living that you wish to heal at the same time. You'll actually heal and harm simultaneously.
Oh, sweet. Interesting. Yeah,
that was an improvement over channel. I think that the trade off on that is you don't increase anywhere near as many dice as you did in Pathfinder First Ed, but Pathfinder First Ed, you had to pick. Heal or harm. You couldn't do both.
Right.
That's one of the things I really like about Pathfinder 2nd Edition Heal is the versatility of just the single spell that you can heal with one action, two actions, or do area of effect with three.
And Tony, I don't want to have you do a bunch of research on this. No.
I have the information for you right here.
My goal is not to find out about the device itself. I really, really want to know what it looks like. That's all I really care about.
Okay. So here's the thing is because you use scribe lore, you get to know certain details.
Sure.
So it is a wooden and stone box. It's approximately somewhere between a 6 foot cube and a 1 foot cube. I'm sorry, 6 inch cube and a 1 foot cube. Made out of a combination of wood and stone with silver and gold inlays carved into it. Relatively simple looking, but nearly indestructible.
Okay.
What you know from the scribe lore is this was an object that was in the possession of. Originally in the possession of an individual named Kundal, spelled Qhun_dal.
Oh, I did have the al at the end. Sorry.
No What? So, you don't necessarily know a lot about him yet. You know that the tavern, the Broken Shield in town was built on top of a great battle, or the battlefield that was where the original founders of the city took the city from Kundal. So Kundal was originally in complete control of the city at one point, and was defeated. And on the side of that battlefield is where the tavern, the Broken Shield, is built.
Okay.
So this is a box that was in his possession. It's being used to bring back the dead by the Dread Crowns. You've ascertained that much from Ralos. It's somewhere between a six-inch cube and a one-foot cube in size, made out of wood, stone, and has gold and silver inlays in it.
Super.
That's as much as you know with that check.
That's fair. So,
and that's a lot more than you were going to know otherwise.
that's absolutely cool. So who's the little thiefy dude that we knew in town? It's his name's...
I keep wanting to call him Schmeagle, but it's not his name.
Saeed.
Big hat dude. Yeah,
Saeed.
So I would have put word out that I'm trying to find... How long do we have to get to the...
Okay. You have, from this point forward, you have 24 hours.
No, but to get to the trials, when do the trials start? I mean, is there a start time for the trials, or...?
You don't know.
Okay.
You know there are trials, but that's the extent that you know about the trials.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't learned really much about it.
I'd like to find Saeed in a rapid manner.
Okay. Let's see here.
And that's just go the look sky. Talk to the sky.
Junk.
Talk
so I'm going to allow you to make a society check to see how long it takes you to find him. Just looking around and asking around.
Don't I have a skill that allows me to find something I'm looking for?
Yes, it that takes you days, though.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did a d20 roll, so I rolled a 20, and that 20, so that's a 30, so 37.
So... Saeed happens to have a stand just outside of the building.
Look at that. So you
walk out of the warehouse, and this isn't even a market district, and there's like a stand out there, and he's like, hello, friends, how are you?
Hey, Saeed, I need something. Can you help me out with it?
Well, if you have coin, I have goods.
I have coin. It's
what not can even, I help you with?
It's not quite my coin, but you don't care about that, do you?
Coin is coin.
I respect you, Saeed, more than you could possibly know. Saeed, I'm looking for, and I try to describe what I'm looking for. Like, I try to describe this box. So this 12, I'm like, you know anyone in town that could produce something like this in very, very, very short order? Some like a few hours.
You wish to have a small box made of wood? I'm sure I could dig something up like that in my among my wares.
Of wood and stone and silver lined.
Oh. Well, you might have to have a handful of... You might need to have some resources to pull that off. You might need a blacksmith or someone who's skilled with jewel crafting and has access to a forge. To melt possibly a few coins to make inlays. You'd have to find the stone, which I have stone and I have wood, that you are welcome to purchase. And you'd have to find a skilled craftsperson to put them together.
Saeed, I come to you because I believe you are the one that can do this. Maybe you're not the man that I thought you were. Maybe you're not the skilled person that I believe you are. Maybe I've come to the wrong person.
I believe you're rolling an intimidate check here.
Nope, I'm doing more of a...
Deception?
Diplomacy or... Yeah, diplomacy.
Yeah, okay, I'll allow diplomacy.
14.
He kind of gives this toothy grin, and you happen to see a gold tooth somewhere in his mouth. And he goes, you are correct. I am not the man who can do this for you.
Fair enough. Who would be the man?
Udaman.
Actually, that's true. A part of it. Mark is a jeweler, so he can melt the coin down.
He looks at you and goes, "Well, you do have jewel crafting abilities," which is odd that you've never told Saeed that, and he knows that. But he looks at you and says, "Well, you do have the ability to do the jewel crafting. If you can find someone who's made a wooden box, you might be able to slap some stone on it and do the rest of the filigree work yourself."
Well, but that's silversmithing, not jewelry, right? I mean, aren't they different skills?
It depends, because jewelry can be made out of silver.
Sure.
And the doing fine detail in that, because you're just essentially carving into the wood and then filling the gaps with silver.
I didn't want to assume that crafting was the same. So I do have crafting. You're right. I do have crafting jewelry. If I can do that, that's cool. I can. If I just
you'd have to find someone with the box and the stone.
Yeah, I could do that.
But you can, you could do the rest yourself.
So if I reach out to Saeed, can you help me with someone with the wooden stone box scenario?
He like holds up a piece of stone and a wood box and goes, "Well, how would this do?"
Well, how do I think it does? I mean, I needed something that's kind of based upon the description I've read and learned.
The description that you know is just descriptions about it. So you have no idea what the actual thing actually looks like.
All right.
There's gold and silver, because this is recalled, like essentially this is stories about an object from nearly like 700 years ago.
Sure. Okay. It's probably a dead end then. I was going to try to make a fake.
Yeah, I know you're trying to make a replica. Yeah. And you can make a replica of it. But you are aware that it might not look identical to it.
Oh, but he does. He's never had possession of it. He's only read about it.
Correct. He probably knows the same stories you do.
Yes, that's what I'm going after. And I'm not necessarily going to try to deceive him ultimately, but I just want a back story. I want a plan B.
Contingency plan.
Yep.
So you can get the raw materials, and it will take. Give me a craft check to see how long you think it will take you.
Oh my lord. That's a +7, by the way. So it's really a...
That's a 1.
No, that's a negative,
-2. It's a -2, yeah.
-2, yeah.
Okay, so...
It's like a box that just keeps falling apart. I can just imagine like this kid's project that you put it together and it's like it just collapses every time you kind of let go of it. It falls apart.
you essentially, by the end of it, you have a box... That you realize at the end that you were carving into it, you made these interesting filigrees, and then you took a step back and goes, "It looks perfect." And then you realize, "Oh no, I just wrote the word hup on it."
Right. And there's a piece of stone glued to my forehead. Okay. Well, that's crap.
You know, you had the perfect role for the scribing, and then you messed up on the crafting. That's hilarious.
And then you literally made crap, so it's great.
So you did roll your 11 ones. You got your 3 there. So yeah, actually, I think you had 2 20s in a row.
I did get 2 20s in a row. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. The last time that'll happen, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a little.
I tried to make a second one. I rolled a 19. No. Okay. So sorry, I wasted some time here.
Oh, you're fine. So that took that burned about, in grand total, 6 hours of your 24.
So that's just my time. I want this to be my time and not everyone else's time.
That's right. So for the first 6 hours, what is everyone else going to do? And one thing I would like to recommend to everyone, getting a long rest before 24 hours is up, getting at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep is probably going to be necessary, so you're not fatigued by the time you start on the trials.
So what time would we have come out of that?
It's probably like early afternoon at this point when you got out of the discussion with Rallos.
Okay.
I'll use 4 of the 6 hours. I'm going to find a store that I can buy some... I don't know what the spell is in this system, but the do bad things to undead spell besides heal.
I would be
like
wish.
A holy word or something. Or,
I mean, there are spells that can do things to undead. I don't believe, other than heal, that you have access to them at this level.
Can I buy a scroll that has them?
or a ring or something like that that has them?
You could probably buy a scroll. So you go around looking for an item, and we'll come back to that in a little bit.
Okay.
Let's see here. Just roll me a d20. See how successful you are at finding what you're looking for.
Oh, that was awesome. Don't press the up arrow. You get 70 characters of gobbledygook in your window.
I'm able to use the up arrow just fine. Depends on what you've typed in previously, too.
Yeah, right. I mean, there is heal. If you just straight up heal, that's...
Dude, that's a massively awesome roll.
What'd you roll?
5.
All right. So with that, we'll say that you spend the 6 hours looking for a scroll. You find something that we'll come back to in a little bit.
Okay.
Well, let's go to Aether. What are you doing for the 6 hours?
I think I am just going to go back to the inn, spend some time meditating and preparing.
Okay. And last, Jethal, what are you going to do with your time?
I think part of the time I want to scribe some scrolls. I think I'm just going to scribe 4 scrolls.
Okay.
That'll
probably burn your 6 hours, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and then the rest, I mean, I'm just going to kind of rest, I guess, after that to a degree.
All right. Well, while you are scribing scrolls, Tegan is finding scrolls, and the others are Aether's getting a nap, and Hup is gluing things to his face. we'll leave off there for this week. So, listeners, thank you again for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Again, we are trying to expand our listeners, so please check us out on Facebook. Give this episode a like on Facebook. Leave us a comment on the website or on Facebook. The more you interact with the posts on Facebook, the more the Facebook algorithms help us out. So, but yeah, give us a hand. Help us out finding more people. Check us out on Discord. Reach out to us. Any questions you have. Otherwise, if we don't see you before then, we'll see you on the next episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper, Pencil, Dice.